Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. As we approach Rosh Hashanah and the new year, please consider a donation to Pardes in honor of the podcast. Your contribution of any amount will make a real difference. You can donate online at any time via donate.pardesusa.org. Thank you very much. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Parshat Ki Tavoh. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha is Parshat Ki Tavoh. Today, I would like to examine the section of the blessings and curses, or as it is known in rabbinic literature, the Tochecha, the rebuke. The section that constitutes the bulk of our parsha, perhaps the essence of our parsha, both quantitatively and qualitatively. I would like to begin by noting a very interesting parallel. The book of Deuteronomy culminates in the section of the blessings and curses, chapter 28, which we will examine today. And this parallels the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, which also culminates in a section of blessings and curses in Leviticus chapter 26. If we look at the end of our section, this is chapter 28, verse 69. These are the words of the covenant which God commanded Moshe to make with the Jewish people in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them at Horev. In my editor's comment, Horev/Mount Sinai. If we look at the end of the blessings and curses in Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 46, these are the statutes and the laws and the instructions which God gave to be between him and the Jewish people at Mount Sinai through the hands of Moshe. Although the language of covenant is not used at the end of the book of Leviticus, it is clearly that is what is happening based on our verse in Deuteronomy. The section in Leviticus is not only the culmination of that book, the book of Leviticus, but it is actually the culmination of a process which began with a covenant that was established at Mount Sinai. In chapter 24 of the book of Exodus. In chapter 24, there is a whole ceremony which the Jews go through, where Moses reads to them the book of the covenant. And according to Nachmanides, he reads to them the whole Torah from the beginning of Bereshit, Genesis, up to that point. All the laws that are given in the Parsha of Mishpatim. And in that context, the Jewish people say, Na'aseh v'nishma. There is a whole sacrificial ceremony where blood is sprinkled upon them. In effect, that is when the Jewish people become the people of God. But that covenant is finalized at the end of the book of Leviticus, when Moses tells them what are the ramifications of the observance of the covenant. If they observe it, they will receive a variety of blessings. If they don't, they will be cursed. The covenant is not complete until the people take upon themselves, realize the full ramifications of their actions. It is very nice for the people to say Na'aseh v'nishma, to be caught up in the ecstasy of the moment. But it is very important for them to have spelled out before them the accountability for their actions. The covenant at Sinai was made with the generation that left Egypt. In our parsha, there is a new covenant which is being made, a new old covenant. It is the reinstitution of the covenant at Sinai in the plains of Moab with a new generation that is about to enter the land of Israel. Moshe wants to impress upon the Jewish people what they are taking upon themselves, what is expected of them as they come into the land. So let us examine now the section of blessings and curses. We will start with the blessings. Chapter 28. This is chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. Let me start by noting a very interesting structure to this section. It is known as a chiastic structure, or as some people may be familiar with, ABBA. And I'll try to point out the parallels and then highlight what is the essence of this section. The section begins in verse 1. V'hayam shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all the commandments which I am commanding you today. If we now go to the end of the section, it begins with the second half of verse 13. When you will listen to the commandments of God which I am commanding you today, to observe, to do, do not deviate from all the things which I am commanding you today, to the right or to the left, to go after those foreign gods, to serve them. As a parenthetical remark, the idea of not deviating to the right or to the left echoes something which appears in the beginning of Parshat Shoftim, when it talks about the judges, in particular the high court, that one should not deviate from what the high court says, neither to the right nor to the left. Okay, for those who are interested, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 11. Verse 14 is not just going back to verse 1, but is an elaboration on two levels. On one level, not only observe the mitzvot, do not deviate to the right or to the left, and a further amplification. Do not deviate to go after the foreign gods to serve them. This is a theme which appears throughout the book of Deuteronomy. The preoccupation with idolatry, or perhaps more correctly, the concern of the Jewish people following idolatry and the need to totally eradicate it. That is the expectation of God. Follow God's commandments. Eradicate idolatry. Now let's look further in the section. At the end of verse 1 in chapter 28, God says, or Moshe says, and the Lord your God will place you, Elyon, on top, Al Kol Goyei Haaretz, on all the nations of the earth. And if I now look at the end of verse 12, and in particular verse 13, once again, Moshe concludes with how he began. At the end of verse 12, you will lend many nations, but you won't borrow. And in verse 13, God will establish, will place you to be the head and not the tail. You will be only on top. You will not be on the bottom. What's added over here? Only on top, not on the bottom. Nachmanides says that this is referring to what should be the situation always. There will never be a situation where the Jews are below. They will always be on top. I noted earlier that in the last verse it says, do not deviate to the right or left, which echoes what is said in the beginning of Parshat Shoftim. The idea of us being above, on top of our enemies, echoes a theme which is in Parshat Shoftim, Parshat Ki Tetzé, and perhaps throughout the book of Dvarim. A major theme of the book of Dvarim is warfare. Perhaps the concern of the Jewish people of having to engage nations that are more numerous, more powerful than they. And these verses are saying that we will always be on top. We will never be on the bottom. And now let's look at the continuation. When we read verses 3 to 6, you will be blessed in the city, you will be blessed in the field, the fruits of your belly will be blessed, the fruits of your land will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, you will be blessed when you go out. Our parsha begins with the section of Bikurim, which speaks about bringing the first fruits to the temple in Jerusalem. But what is emphasized is the blessing which God gives us, the blessing of the fruits of the land, which we need to acknowledge and to bring to the temple. Verses 3 to 6 speak of blessing in every facet of our day-to-day existence, blessing which permeates every aspect of our social structure. And therefore, if we take verse 2 combined with the following verses, God blesses us vis-a-vis the world outside, the nations outside. And perhaps one could say, God blesses us in terms of our engagement in warfare. But God blesses us subsequently when we are settled in the land. And therefore, these blessings parallel the flow of parshiot, ki teitze, ki tavo. When you go out, when you come in. Verse 6, blessed are you when you come in, blessed are you when you go out. Both in terms of external affairs, internal affairs. We will be blessed. And we can see this duality reflected once again in verse 7 and verse 8. May God give over your enemies that arise upon you to be smitten before you. They will go out to you in one way. They will flee from you in seven paths. Ki teitze. And then in verse 8, may God command the blessing in your silos, in all of your occupations, to bless you on the land which the Lord your God has given you. This theme of the land your God has given you is accentuated at the beginning of our parsha, and the need to be grateful for the land which God has given us as our inheritance. The centerpiece of our section, which everything revolves upon, is in verses 9 and 10. May God establish you to him to be a holy people, as he swore to you. When you observe the mitzvot of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and all the peoples of the earth will see that the name of the Lord your God is called upon you, and they will be in awe of you. Verse 9 echoes what we have in the book of Exodus. In chapter 19, before the Jewish people enter into the covenantal relationship, before they have the revelation at Sinai, God says to them, Va'atem tihiyu li, and you shall be to me, Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy kadosh. This is chapter 19, verse 6. And in fact, in the verse which is before that, you will be to me a treasure from among the nations, for the land is mine. Moshe is reiterating what appears in the book of Exodus, reminding the Jewish people that our goal is to be a holy people, to be the treasure of God. Let me add another point. Nachmanides takes this verse and refers it back to the covenant which Abraham made with God in chapter 17 in Bereishit, where God tells Abraham to perform Brit Milah, circumcision. And in return, God says, I will be to you a God. There is a Rashi there on verse 2, which in fact may not actually be Rashi's comment and does not appear in a number of manuscripts. But nevertheless, I think, is very relevant to that section. In chapter 17 in Bereishit, when God says, and I will establish my covenant with you, Rashi says this is a covenant of love. And I think that is what Moshe is saying to the people over here. God is establishing a covenant with them. Observe the commandments. A covenant is a contract, very formal, legal, binding, accountable. But ultimately, God is not interested in a legal document. God is interested in the equivalent of a marriage relationship, in a relationship of love, where people are not doing what they have to do, but what they want to do, with all their heart, with all their soul. And when I take verse 9 and 10 by us, the degree to which we actualize our roles as being a holy people then has its impact on the world outside, who look at us, who see the name of God called upon us. We are the people of God. And that generates a sense of awe. If in this section we are told again and again that we have the possibility of being placed above the nations, the emphasis is not on warfare. Our leading role is not because of the sword. our leading role is because of the sense of awe, the recognition we are the people of God. So if I summarize, this section is crystallizing everything which is discussed in the book of Deuteronomy. And this section is what the Jewish people now need to take with them when they enter the land of Israel. Follow the commandments. Actualize your destiny as being the people of God. In doing so, you will be recognized by all around you. You will be raised up. Everyone will be in awe of you. You will be at one with your natural surroundings. There will be abundance. Everything will work in a harmonious fashion. That is the bracha. From verse 15 until the end of the section, which is verse 68, there are the curses. And the rabbis have already noted that in a certain way, the curses which appear in this section are much more severe than what appears in the end of the book of Leviticus. I would like to focus on two aspects of the curses, which seem to come up again and again. Let me look at verse 38. Zera rav totzi asadeh. The field will produce much seed. Or maybe the way to translate it is, you will invest, you will plant much seed in the field. Ma'at te'esof, but you will gather very little. Ki achselenu ha'arbeh, because the locusts will totally clean it out. Next verse, you will plant vineyards, and you will work the land, but you won't drink the wine. You won't store it, because the worms will eat it. The next verse, you will have olives in all of your borders, in all your boundaries, but you won't anoint yourself with oil, because the olives will fall prematurely. You will bear children, but they will not be to you, because they will go into captivity. A major theme of the section of curses is this sense of unfulfillment. The idea that I invested so much and in the end did not reap the fruits of my labor. When we read this section, we can't help but to hear what the priest says to the soldiers in the army in chapter 20 of Deuteronomy as they are about to go to warfare. If there is a man who has built a house but has not dedicated it yet, let him go back, because he may die in battle and someone else will dedicate his home. Someone who has planted a vineyard and has not taken in the fruits that need to be redeemed, let him go back. Someone else will do it. Someone who has betrothed a woman but has not married her, go back, lest you die and someone else will take her to be his wife. In a previous podcast, I said that the reason for these military exemptions is so that the people should not be preoccupied and not fight to the best of their abilities. But I also mentioned another possibility, that it could be that the Torah is very concerned with having people complete a process to have a sense of fulfillment in their lives. And I think this is a theme which runs throughout the book of Devarim. The idea of bringing things to their completion, to be able to have a sense of enjoyment, of pleasure, at eating the fruits of my labors. So that our section of curses very much addresses the psychological component. I would say the tremendous frustration in having invested so much and then having it snatched away from me. A verse which is central to this section, which echoes a verse from the beginning of the parsha, verse 47 and then 48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God in joy, in goodness of heart, from tremendous abundance, instead you will serve your enemies, which God is sending upon you, in famine, in thirst, in nakedness, choser kol, in lack of anything, not having anything. In the beginning of the parsha, the very end of the section which speaks of the first fruits, it says in chapter 26, verse 11, and you should rejoice in all the good which God has given to you and to your household, you and the Levi and the stranger in your midst. The Torah commands us to enjoy what we have, to see the blessing in what we have, to share it with the people around us, to serve God by bringing the first fruits and acknowledging that everything that we have is from God. And here in the section of the curses, it says, if you don't know how to serve God, if you don't know to be happy with what you have, then in the end, you will serve people. In the end, you will have nothing, measure for measure. And now I would like to go to something else which appears in the parasha, which also relates to the beginning of our parasha. It talks about the Jewish people eventually going into exile. And if we look at our section, chapter 28, verse 64, and God will scatter you among the nations from one end of the earth to the other end. You will serve there other gods that you didn't know, you and your forefathers, gods of wood and stone. And once again, measure for measure, you sought out idolatry in the land of Israel, which eventually brought about this destruction. And you will continue to pursue idolatry against your will in the lands of your exile. But what interests me are the next few verses. And among those nations, you will not be calmed. There will be no respite to the palms of your feet. God will give you there a trembling heart, yearning eyes, and da'avon nafesh, I will translate as a sense of despondency. The next verse, your lives will hang opposite you. You will be afraid night and day, and literally, you will not have faith in your lives. In the morning, you will say, I wish it were evening. And a number of commentaries say that refers to the evening before. And in the evening, you'll say, I wish it were the previous morning. Because of the fear of your hearts, and because of everything that you see. The description over here is terrifying. It's a description of people who have no hope, who would like to believe that tomorrow will be better, but it just gets worse and worse. In the language of what I just read, who have lost all faith in life. The ultimate curse that God is giving these people is they have no future. The beginning of our parasha, which speaks about the first fruits, says that when the person brings the first fruits to the temple, there is a recitation, a declaration which they need to make. A declaration that we are familiar with because it was incorporated into the Haggadah of Pesach. We start recounting our history. Our father was a wandering Aramean, and then he went down to Egypt. And in Egypt, we were enslaved and we were afflicted. But God took us out, and God has given us this wonderful land. Every year, one is expected to come to the temple and make this declaration and go back to the past, remember their roots, to somehow, by looking at the past, to understand what does it mean to be a wanderer? What does it mean to be homeless? What does it mean to be drifting? To have no sense of direction and purpose. And what an unbelievable gift it is to be able to have a land, to have an inheritance. For the Jews who lost sight of their past, who didn't remember what it was like, who took their present for granted, who forgot about God, who worshipped idols, and as a result, experienced these curses that are mentioned in our section, the Torah is telling them the ultimate curse is that you will have no future. If you fail to recognize the past, you will not have any hope. And not only that, the last verse of the curses, God will restore you, bring you back to Egypt in boats on a path which you said, I will never again see. And you will sell yourselves there to your enemies to be slaves and maids. But no one will buy you. The ultimate curse is to go back to Egypt, to wipe out all those years of history, all that development, go back to square one. But when I go back to square one, I am in a worse position because I am all alone. I am abandoned. There is no God. God took me out of Egypt. But when I go back in boats. When I go back, I try to sell myself. I prostitute myself. Nobody's interested. I have become a total non-entity. My life has lost all of its meaning. As I mentioned earlier, this is perhaps the ultimate human tragedy. No matter how difficult it is, as long as someone has hope, as long as someone still believes in the possibility of living and values their life, they can somehow overcome the difficulties. But the moment that all hope is lost, they are doomed to total destruction. The curses, as I mentioned in Deuteronomy, are devastating, frightening beyond imagination. When Moshe makes the covenant with the generation that is about to enter the land of Israel, perhaps he exaggerates in order to get his point across. The Jews have the opportunity to now become a holy people, to be known as the people of God, to be acknowledged by everyone around them who will be in awe of them. The ability to be on top, to never be on the bottom. But the flip side of that is that in the end, we have everything to lose. Everything, not only in terms of our possessions, not only in terms of our children, everything in terms of our desire to live, our hope for a better reality. In this month of Elul, during this period of introspection, it is not coincidental that we read this section. It is very important for us to always put in perspective what the stakes are, what the opportunities are, what the potential is, and God forbid, what could be the penalty. And I will just conclude on a positive note. In Parshat Vayelech, God says to the Jewish, the end of Parshat Nitzavim. This is chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 19. God says, today I am placing before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life in order that you should live, you and your children, to love the Lord your God, to hearken to his voice, to cling to him, because he is your life and the length of your days. May we always know how to choose life, and may we all be inscribed in the book of life. Since this is my last podcast before Rosh Hashanah, my blessing to all of us is that we should know how to choose life and thereby merit to be inscribed in the book of life. Shabbat Shalom, v'shana tova.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send us an email at podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.